Hello.
Howdy.
So, common theme of my life, not just in recent history, but I feel throughout my adult life, has been the fear that I can't trust myself, or the practice of trying to trust myself or wanting to be able to trust myself after having made quote unquote bad decisions. I will say particularly in my love life. And I just feel like a lot of people go through this. I feel like a lot of people, after they get out of a bad relationship or chase some sort of path that ends up causing them some sort of harm emotionally or otherwise, they feel like, whoa, can I trust my instincts? How do I know when I'm on the right path? Because last time I thought I was on the right path and, you know, maybe I ended up feeling like I had been missing all these signs all the way through. So I just wanted to talk about this concept today because I've been working through it a lot in my personal life and thinking through it a lot and trying to put new practices into action. So I've just got a lot of thoughts.
I just have so many feelings.
That movie,
Mean Girls.
She doesn't even go here.
That is exactly how I sounded, huh?
Yeah, self-trust is actually something that I talk about every Wednesday morning when I sit and I pay my little brain doctor to help me sort through my thoughts.
What area do you think it shows up most for you? The fear or the hesitation?
My lack of self-trust?
Yeah, what areas of life?
Definitely in dating, for sure, which is something that I was actually thinking about today, and I was going to call Carly and have a full conversation, and then I was like, you know what?
Oh, yay!
I feel like I need to think about this more, but I think I might just be thinking about it with you guys. I think we might just be working on this together, guys.
On the couch.
On the couch together, all of us, because here we are. Yeah, definitely in dating. You know, it feels very, very across the board, unfortunately. On the theme of last week's episode, I really trust my body, my physical body, and we're tight. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
I always know that she has it down and I'm just waiting on her cues, you know? And so that's one area that I do have a lot of trust in myself. But I think my lack of straight up communication skills in certain ways have created a lot of self-doubt in myself, because I haven't advocated for myself at certain points that were really important. And that has created a level of distrust in my ability to stand up for myself and to advocate for myself and to express my needs. So I think that that's one area that I'm really addressing right now, is finding my voice in relationships that feel like it's hard to find my voice, and building that relationship with myself in that way, if that makes any sense.
That makes so much sense. I have that kind of written down as something that I wanted to mention, because that was such a crucial part of me being able to really create a friendship with myself and get to know myself again. But So maybe I can give a relationship example or two to
contextualize
precisely my journey. So there's definitely been patterns in my dating life in the past. So I am someone who, from a young age, really developed the relational technique of wanting everybody around me to feel safe and okay and heard and understood and loved all the time. And I love that about myself. I love that I want to empathize with people, that I want to make sure that nobody feels alone. I want people to feel like they can be themselves around me. And I love that about myself. And it has contributed in my dating life to me being someone who will kind of constantly sacrifice myself and my well-being in order to maintain the relationship, or for the other person to be happy, attended to, you know, whatever. So that's been a pattern in a lot of my relationships. And it is kind of weird, because I do sometimes feel like I have two really opposite sides to my personality, where on the one end, I'm feisty and strong and intense and passionate and speak my mind in my life. And on the other side, I justify a lot for people, and I want to see the best in people, and I'm willing to overlook certain things because I want to give people the benefit of the doubt. And I want, again, people to feel safe. I don't want to feel like I'm abandoning anybody. I kind of struggle with enabling at times, you know, or I have in the past. And that has really played out in a lot of my relationship dynamics. And it causes me to fall into a similar role in relationships with people, with men mostly, where, again, like I said, there's kind of a self-sacrificial element and I don't end up getting what I need. I end up extremely depleted at the end of relationships. My abandonment wound comes out strong. My anxious attachment comes out strong, you know, and my nervous system's a wreck. That has been a common theme throughout my young adult life. And I did have one experience that really felt like the end of the road for me, where I was like, no more. I cannot do this ever again. What the fuck is going on? What has been going on? How does this always happen? Why does it always happen? What am I finally got to a point where I was like, what am I contributing to this? Because this isn't just always happening to me. You know, I definitely am playing a part in these dynamics and I want to understand what that is so I can hopefully never do it again. Or at the very least, be very aware of what I'm doing when I'm doing it. And I went through that journey of self-discovery and building self-awareness. And that really was my first step, because I did fall into these mindsets of, I would think to myself, I'm a bad judge of character, or I'm not very discerning, or all these really negative thoughts about myself that lacked real self-awareness of what my internal motivations were and what the root cause of my maybe lack of self-esteem or self-worth or finding my value playing a certain role in people's lives and not knowing what my value was outside of that role. And so breaking down the patterns that had been going on in my life, seeing them for what they were, pulling out the familiar touch points that had happened that were the common thread, you know, between each relationship, and starting to hone in on the part that I played in all of that, which oftentimes for me personally, and you know, this will be different for everybody, but for me personally, it was, like I said before, justifying certain behaviors, allowing people to treat me in certain ways and not setting boundaries. And kind of like what you said before, not even just not expressing my needs or my wants or my feelings, but not even paying attention to my needs or my wants or my feelings, really.
Mm-hmm.
And I fell into the next step, which was just radical honesty at all times with myself and with everyone around me. And in the beginning, it was kind of intense and harsh because I was so hellbent on never repeating the same pattern again that I was just like, you're going to know up front and immediately, you know, who I am, what I need, what I want, what I'm looking for, whatever it was. And from there, I really needed to work on my communication skills in being able to express who I am, what I need, what I want, how I feel with regard to the fact that there is another human being in the equation, and with respect. And also understanding that even though I might feel triggered, not every moment that I feel triggered means that there's actually something massive going on, you know, like being able to actually put situations into perspective and approach them with calmness and without making every single interaction feel like it was the end of the world or the end of the road, you know, and kind of trying to regulate my emotional experience before communicating with people to make sure, again, that I could maintain that respect and all of that. So it's like a process from building self-awareness to then that honesty of being able to express myself, like you were saying.
Yeah.
But I do think that a huge part of answering the question, can I trust myself, is do I know myself? You know, do I know why I'm doing what I'm doing? And then being able to express yourself, like how you were saying earlier and how I'm kind of trying to touch on right now, is so important to knowing what type of dynamic you're building with someone. If somebody is uncomfortable listening to you share your feelings, that's not good. If they can't tolerate you expressing your wants or your needs, that's an important thing to note. You have to be able to express yourself honestly and clearly. You have to be able to emote to somebody and for them to be open to it. You know, that's so important. And if you can't do that, probably a big sign that this might not be a super healthy thing for you to invest yourself into.
Yeah. You know, I was thinking about this last week because I went on a date and I, at the end of the date, I hope he's not listening to this. God, fuck. That would suck. If you're listening, click off. At the end of the date, he was like, I just want to warn you. I'd love to see you again, but I'm not a good texter. And I looked at him and I was like, yeah, you have to try though. I was like, you have to, that's fine if you're historically not good, but you do have to try or yeah. else like I'm out kind of. And he looked at me and his eyes got kind of wide, but like not in a bad way, just in like a, oh, I didn't expect that way. And I was like so cool and calm about it. It came out so naturally where I was, and it didn't feel like he was playing a game or anything like that. It just felt like he was trying to set me up for expectation. And I was like, no. If you want to see me again, this is my expectation. I need to hear from you. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like,
and I'm not always great at that, but I am learning, I think, in dating, but in general, that the tone that you set in the beginning and what you kind of tolerate and allow in the beginning in terms of just what you need out of a situation is exactly what you're going to continue to get.
Yeah.
And the more that you can, I think about this all the time, just in general, with trying to grow more into myself, in that the more honest I can be and the more myself I can be, the quicker I will weed people out and experiences out and things out. You know what I mean? And I'm so inspired by that thought.
Yeah.
I'm really inspired by that thought these days. And so it felt like such a natural moment. And let me tell you, he has been a fantastic texter. So if you're listening to this, you've done a great job.
Well, look, expressing yourself like that is a practice of self-respect.
Okay. And that's exactly it. Is like, I was just talking to my parents about this last night at dinner. Something that I've learned about myself and that I've learned in therapy is that I have a raging abandonment wound. And I think we've already talked about this, but
we will continue to talk about it. Honey. So do I.
So something that I was talking to my parents about last night at dinner, and through therapy and my own just introspection, I have really tried to connect the dots of where the inception of that was, which, honey, we're still trying to figure that out.
Yeah.
And also how it plays out in my life and how it is perpetuated in my life. And something that I very clearly identified through my own patterns is when I don't speak up for myself and advocate for myself in very small moments, that right there is an act of self-abandonment.
Mm-hmm.
And every time that I do that in the smallest of ways, someone that I have a hard time expressing my needs to says, do you want Diet Coke? I got you Diet Coke. And I'm like, yeah, that's fine. That's fine. You know what I mean? Instead of just being like, no, actually I'd like water or I'd like this or like that. That's such a stupid example, but I don't know. I'm just, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Just for some reason feeling like I'm just going to bend to whatever they want or make them comfortable or phone the runway for them. And every time that you do that and every time that I do that, that's an act of self-abandonment. And I have learned that my abandonment wound is perpetuated by me.
Yes.
It's by me in small moments showing myself that I'm not going to advocate for myself and be there for myself. And if I can't expect that from myself, I'm never going to be able to expect it from other people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so that knowing has been so powerful for me to look around in my life and figure out the ways that I can be empowered to advocate for myself and to speak up for myself. And in that practice, build self-confidence and so much self-trust.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm on my way. I'm not at the destination at all. I still sometimes have a really hard time and I'm fine with that. This is a long-standing thing for me, you know? And I don't know where I'm going with it, but I do know that I'm going in the right direction and that identifying that has been so empowering for me to see areas that I can build trust and confidence in myself and know that I don't want to sound right now like I'm trying to strive for ultimate independence because, like I've said in the past, I think that I want to be able to do everything by myself and I know that I can't, but I do want to know that I always have me.
Yeah.
And that has to be there. And I think that that's a foundation that I'm building self-trust on right now of in small moments, sticking up for myself or just saying what I want and not being scared that I'm going to get an adverse reaction from someone or that they're going to leave or anything. So many of those thoughts and feelings are so not based in reality.
Yeah.
And that's something that recently I've just been really enjoying employing in my life and kind of seeing where it takes me. And it's empowered me so much that I'm excited to see, you know, as I look to Carly and she's
really gotten to a place where she's like really in tune with her needs, you know? And I feel like I'm on the same path, but, you know, I'm 3 years younger than her. So naturally I'm in a different phase of life than her, you know? And I just want to continue on this because it does feel good to build self-trust from this place, you know?
Yeah.
And it feels like it can last. It feels like it's a place to grow from that I can only build on, you know?
Yes, because you don't have to be making anything up. You're actually speaking and representing yourself from a place of your true, honest self. You don't have to come up with any stories or maintain any narratives to build a relationship from that place. That is your truth. That is your insides. And what I was going to say earlier is for anybody who has abandonment wounds and who feels either subconsciously or even consciously constantly afraid of somebody leaving, if somebody chooses to leave you because you've expressed mm-hmm. your honest truth to them, that's a gift.
I agree. And I'm starting to see that too. That's something that now I feel like I'm living in reality of being like, thank God, because I said what I needed. You didn't want to give it to me.
Yeah.
And now we don't have to torture each other.
I know.
And I love this for us.
Our biggest fear being someone leaving is so interesting because people leaving is a blessing so often.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually a good thing oftentimes. It's clarity. It can, in my opinion, affirm the work that you've been doing. Because if you experience people who are inflexible and unwilling to be introspective or unwilling to be collaborative in the building of a relationship or respect you or respect your needs or something, it can actually affirm that you're on the right track towards finding someone who will.
Mm-hmm.
If people who won't do any of those things are leaving as a direct result of you representing your truth to them,
mm-hmm.
that actually reinforces the fact that you can trust yourself.
Yeah.
Because if what you want is a partnership where somebody respects you, listens to you, validates you, then the people who don't do any of those things need to leave.
Agreed.
So people leaving is not the worst thing that could ever happen to you.
No, actually.
And it's really hard for your body to accept that when you have a very serious, you know, abandonment trigger.
But what's fucking crazy is I just think about what I was just talking about in terms of self-abandonment. And that's actually the scariest thing.
Yeah.
Is to be constantly running out on yourself for the sake of other people
yes.
that you're not even aligned with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I feel really empowered in that thought these days. And, you know, something else that I've worked on in the last year is identifying what version of me is in the driver's seat at certain times. And mm-hmm. so I've realized that there are multiple versions of Casey inside of me. There's the 5-year-old Casey, there's the 14-year-old, there's the 20-year-old, and all of them have different fears and needs and things. And more recently, when I've been thinking about things like my abandonment wound and just the concept that we're talking about right now, someone leaving and what that actually means.
Mm-hmm.
And Brenda always tells me, what version of you is scared of that? Because the 27-year-old version of you knows what the fuck is up. If someone's leaving, don't let the door hit you on the way out.
Yeah.
And I hope stay blessed. You know what I mean? Like, bless the frick up. And I hope you have a great life. And I genuinely mean that. And you know how happy that makes me? It makes me so happy. And that's not to say that sometimes I do get in these fear states where the 21-year-old version of me is in the driver's seat, the 5-year-old version of me.
Yeah,
there's this terrified child inside of me. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? And there's a terrified child inside of all of us. And I'm trying to meet her with love these days, but it's not always easy. But I'm also really intrigued by that thought too of kind of just recognizing who is speaking and who is feeling in that moment and kind of letting your present self who's done some of the work to get there, because I do agree with that. If someone's bouncing, please, I will see you never. You know?
Yeah, I think that so often we attribute someone leaving to failure. And so any sort of failure creates this illusion in our minds that our instincts are off or that we can't trust ourselves for whatever reason, you know, and mm-hmm. kind of reframing what it means for someone to leave or getting really clear on the life that you want and understanding that a lot of people won't fit into that life. And so it's inevitable that they must leave mm-hmm. and that you may have a phase where you're really walking your path by yourself and you're kind of continuing to evolve on your own. And then the patience for people to show up on that path, I think, is really important also for self-trust, that patience with yourself and with your journey and stuff.
Definitely.
Another very important thing to me that's very, very, very important to me is, especially for somebody who worries about self-trust, potentially has some sort of abandonment wounds or trauma bonding patterns or anything like that, learn how to take your time. This is so important to me. I do not want to be a hater for people who met their love of their life and knew immediately and went into it and it worked out. I'm so happy for you. I love that for you. I personally believe it's a lot less common for that to be the case. Not that you don't have some sort of instinct about someone, but that you rush into things and everything gets really serious really fast and then it lasts forever. I personally believe that that's less common. And as someone who has experienced a decent amount of heartbreak, a decent amount of self-doubt in regards to relationships, who experiences the feeling of being triggered pretty regularly in relationship with others, for me, learning how to take my time while slowly and incrementally investing myself into things has been such a lifesaver for me, because it gives me the opportunity to pay close attention to my nervous system and to what my body is telling me. And it gives me the opportunity to really learn about somebody else and see them in various situations, see how they respond over time. Are they consistent? It's just so clutch for me to be able to feel confident in my decisions and to build that trust with myself and to find the clarity that I feel I need before making big commitments to anything. Because I also do want to respect other people, and I understand that other people might be put off by me wanting to take my time. But at the same time, if your goal, especially in relationships, is to find something long lasting, if it's going to last a long time, what's the rush to get there? In my opinion, you know, like, why does it matter if we commit to each other in 6 months versus 3 months? That's only 3 months versus potential years of being together, you know? Like, and that doesn't mean that in those extra 3 months I've just been dicking around leading someone on. It's that I've been taking my time to understand my internal landscape and taking my time to observe somebody else and learn how to build a dynamic that is healthy for us both, and where I'm not building a role for myself early on that I can't get out of later, you know, of whatever the specific role for you might be. And yeah, it's just so important to me, in my opinion. There are a lot of things that you can't take your time on in life, but I feel like when you're building a relationship, you should get to do that.
Hell yeah, I agree.
I definitely agree. And I think that watching you employ that in different areas of your life, of just not rushing into things and being methodical about how you go about it, seems like it's taken a lot of stress off of you, honestly.
It has.
It seems like you are less stressed and anxious about situations at hand, and rather you're an active participant in them just kind of unfolding how they're going to. You know, it's been inspiring to watch you kind of employ that. And I've definitely seen a change from you putting that into practice, just in your nervous system in general, but also with your self-trust. I can see that it's built a level of self-respect where you are following your gut and, you know, putting into practice what you believe is best. So it's good.
Thank you. I think the part that goes in tandem with the taking my time is really clear communication and honesty the entire way, though, too. I'm not just like, oh, sorry, pause while I take my time. I'm explaining how I feel and my reasons for everything that I'm doing, you know, with people, because I feel people deserve to understand where they stand with me, mm-hmm. you know, and why I feel the way that I feel and why I'm doing what I'm doing. I don't want anybody around me to ever feel like they don't know where I'm coming from and that they're on some sort of yo-yo or walking on eggshells, or they're wondering, you know, whether they're going to get nixed or something like that. That's not what I want at all. What I want is to feel like the decisions I'm making are coming from a confident place within me and from a grounded place within me, and that they're not frantic or panicked or desperate. that I feel like I am genuinely ready to make whatever decision I'm making or commit to whatever I'm committing to. Because I also do feel like a lot of heartbreak comes from people overcommitting before they're ready.
Mm-hmm.
And they say they'll do things. They say they'll be there for you. They say whatever. And when push comes to shove, they don't do the things or they can't be there for you because they didn't really understand what they were signing up for, you know, or they wanted to be able to do those things, but they weren't 100% positive that they were ready to. And then when the pressure's on, they realize, oh, I'm not ready to do this, you know? And I don't know that you can always avoid doing that because sometimes the reality of life does hit you hard and you do ultimately need to do what you think is best, even if it unfortunately hurts someone else's feelings or disappoints someone else. So I'm not saying that this is like some evil thing, but my desire is to make commitments that I really, truly believe I can keep and not to make commitments that I am not sure whether or not I can keep them.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I feel like that just takes time to know what you're ready for and where you're really at.
Yeah. You want to know an area of self-trust that I'm actively having a hard time with in dating specifically is, and I've talked to my girlfriends about this, I've definitely talked to you about this, but I think that I historically have been kind of attracted to flighty people,
mm-hmm.
avoidant, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a lot of anxious attachment inside of me. I definitely have a lot of avoidant attachment inside of me too. And I like to believe I have some secure attachment inside of me too.
You're definitely cultivating it for sure.
Yeah, I think I am. And so my history of who I've been attracted to has made it so that I have a hard time trusting myself in this season of my life as I feel, I really do feel like I'm starting to attract secure people.
Mm-hmm. I know the past couple of people you've gone on dates with have seemed really great.
They're like the same type of person.
That's so cool.
They're hella secure.
That's actually true. I haven't thought about that for you.
And then was his name?
Yeah.
They're like the same type of person. Like I'm supposed to be like dating this one type of person right now.
Mm.
And I don't want to say that I'm resistant to it, but it's just a different type of person than I've ever. Okay. This is the part that gets, that's tough for me. I think that my attraction to avoidant people naturally as a partially anxious person makes it so that your system is on overdrive. And you have so much going on inside of you when you're interacting with these people.
Yeah.
And you're doing the dance and you're trying to get them to fucking love you, you know, and like you.
Yeah.
And you're doing the little jig. And as I've grown and I'm moving towards a more secure place in attracting these secure people, it's really interesting because I don't have that physical reaction to these people.
You kind of equate attraction with your nervous system overload. Like that's what you physically equate attraction to.
I guess, but then.
Cause I've done that many times in my past. Like if I'm not freaking the fuck out over someone, I think that I don't like them.
I know. I'm just, there's so much I can't say. I wish we were having a private conversation right now, but yes, I definitely think that that's a part of it for sure. Yeah. Is that I equate me not having any physical feelings inside of my body when I.
Physical, like strong reactions is what you're saying internally.
Yeah, I guess. Yes. I think that's what I'm saying. And so that's all to say that figuring out whether it's that I'm trying to clear out a past pattern of something that I should not be engaging with, which is someone making me feel hella fucking anxious.
Yeah.
Or do I actually like this person?
Yeah.
Am I attracted to this person?
Yes. I have had multiple experiences where someone was really nice and I wanted to like them really badly. And I thought I was doing something wrong by not liking them. Or I thought it was an indication of me not being evolved in a certain way because I didn't like them.
Mm-hmm.
But really, you just don't have to like everybody just because they're nice.
This is so hard for me, you guys, because I keep finding these really nice guys and they're lovely. But I can't figure out. I don't know if you're going to be able to add this in.
You don't have to figure anything out.
I know. I think that I want to make sure that I'm living in the way that I want to move towards, right? And so, but then I also want to honor with some of these people that I've gone on dates with, like, I don't feel anything towards you.
That, I think that that's fair though.
I know. I'm just,
I think I that know. It could be a good practice for you to give things a chance for longer than you might normally give them a chance for.
Okay, so how long?
I think you'll know if you really genuinely don't like someone after spending like a couple dates with them or something.
Yeah.
I don't think that you need you don't need to bash yourself in the head over and over again trying to force yourself to like anybody.
Like, can you hear the self-distrust in my voice? Because I am going back and forth on this all the time.
I've done this so many times though too. You do need to be inspired by someone that you're with and curious about them and excited about the way that they live life and wanting to learn more about them. All of that I think is really important. I definitely think if you're with someone and they make you feel extremely overstimulated, be careful.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. No, I know the feeling. Trust me, I've done this enough. I know the feeling. It's like my body is wants to explode, just shutting down.
But I don't think that the goal is to feel nothing.
I know. Okay. You're right. See, I'm really, this is really, I agree. I don't want the goal. I'm like, I want to feel something. So this is my dilemma. This is a place right now that I'm really going back and forth with myself of asking, are you looking for someone to make you super anxious or what? You know, I don't know. I'm just not trusting myself.
You don't need to worry about that because the reality is the more you practice putting yourself out there and relating to other people, you will be put in different scenarios where you are triggered and you'll get to see how you respond and you'll get to implement your new tools that you've been gathering to navigate those situations. And I definitely think that we can't just intellectualize everything. You have to practice in real life situations. So believe me, honey, you will be put to the test.
I know.
You will. You don't have to worry about that. And you also don't have to worry if you don't have feelings for someone, you just don't.
Womp womp.
It's not the goal to like develop feelings where they don't exist. But I do think that it's really cool that you're starting to attract or finding yourself in situations with people who behave a lot differently than, you know, the people you've been finding yourself around in the past. I think that that's great.
It's the best.
You don't have to, not every single person has to be your soulmate. But I do think that it shows some evolution for you to be paying attention to different types of people and engaging in dating in a different way, in a new way. I think that that's just part of the journey, you know?
Yeah, it definitely feels very timely. And it feels like the universe is sending me this one type of guy. Because to be honest, they're not the type of guy I thought I would really be with. But yeah, it's good. It's good. It definitely shows clear evolution for me based on certain people that I've been drawn to in the past. So I'm happy about it. And I just have to, you're right. There are certain things that you got to just kind of move through it and see, you know, learn from by doing so.
Yeah. And then I wanted to say the last thing that I think is kind of hidden is the amount of shame we carry about the decisions we've made and the positions we put ourselves in and how much we label ourselves like I'm good at this or I'm bad at this, or we put ourselves down. We don't believe in our judgment or our discernment. And I just think it's really important to remember that we're not only allowed to, but we're supposed to be learning lessons in this life. Like, to me, a life well lived is paying attention to what's happened and the decisions you've made and choosing to evolve and reflect. And I don't think that you can evolve to the extent that you want to while holding on to shame.
You also can't evolve to the extent that you want to without just living life and scraping your knees.
Yeah.
You know, like you wouldn't know what you know now if you hadn't been through the experiences that you've been through. And this is coming from someone who harbors a ton of self-shame, and this is a daily practice for me, you know, but just like we were talking about with the dating a couple minutes ago, I'm not going to learn these things unless I just walk the path and continue to engage with certain types of people and figure out, you know, where I'm coming from and my motives and things. But you cannot get to where you want to go without traversing through that valley, and that comes with shit, you know?
Totally. Shame is such a stifling emotion. It's like your ego just with having a death grip onto old narratives about yourself that keep you trapped in an old identity or an old way of living or an old way of existing and being. And I don't know. Sometimes we do have to learn things the hard way. Sometimes we have to make mistakes. Sometimes we have to invest in the wrong people and invest in the wrong things so that we know what not to do again in the future. And this is just an acceptable part of life. It's part of being a human. And also, other people are going to doubt you enough in this life.
Facts.
Other people are going to tell you their opinions and their thoughts on what you're doing and how you're doing it. And just learning how to be our own friends and support ourselves and not berate ourselves constantly, I think is so important to moving forward and building a life that you love, you know, and giving yourself the freedom to make new decisions to build that self-confidence, to build that self-trust. Holding yourself back and holding on to shame for things that have happened in your past, I don't think allows you to move into a space where you even could build self-trust, because it will keep you from honest reflection and the allowance for growth and evolving.
Yeah, listen, battling the ego is one of the biggest parts of self-trust, and figuring out if you're working from a place of ego and from your ego, or whether you're working from your true self, is a huge part of the work, at least for me, you know, and nothing is a mistake in us. We have egos for a reason, and they're not necessarily to be demonized or anything. But when you are living from that place, it's going to be very hard to find a baseline, at least, you know, for me. So I think for all of us, I think that's widely accepted that living from your ego, you're going to have a hard time finding a through line.
Totally, of authentic decision-making and understanding your intentions.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with learning. It's very key. Learning is very key.
You sounded like Donald Trump. Learning is very key.
Whoa, that was good.
You know when he does this? I cannot. Well, how does he? I literally can't. Learning is so good for you because he's such a fucking idiot. I'm sorry. If you're a DT fan, enjoy. I don't mean to be rude, but she sounded like Donald Trump.
Learning is very key.
Yeah, it's literally exactly how he talks. I'm like, can you just say a sentence, or like, do you have to think out what like each word is? Like,
there's a punch on every word.
Yeah, exactly. Emphasis.
And the pucker of the lips.
Yeah. Learning is very key. Oh my God, you guys, it's an election year. How excited are we?
Oh, let's not even get into it.
Yeah, no, we're not going to talk about that. Also, one more thing. I'm sorry, this has nothing to do with what we're talking about, but Carly and I were talking on the phone this morning, and can we all just agree on how good
M&M's are?
M&M's are.
Justice for M&M's and justice for Hershey bars.
Just Hershey bars. Just regular milk chocolate Hershey bars are so... Why did I say like that? Hershey bars.
Because we're on our Donald Trump vibes.
We literally are. I'm like saying everything like him.
Hershey bars.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Exactly. How good are just regular M&M's? Our friend made us M&M's with our face on it. Hi, Daniel. And and they're delish. So good.
Absolutely delicious.
They're so good. And they deserve justice. So
justice for normal M&M's. Peanut M&M's are fire too, but everybody overlooks a normal M&M.
Yeah, it feels like peanut M&M's, everyone knows that they're fire, but a normal M&M, it kind of flies under the radar, you know? But we're gonna get this popping.
Have you ever tried to like crack off with your teeth the outside part?
For sure, yeah. Good. I wish we had one right now so I could try it. I really do.
It's such a fun game.
It is. You definitely do that. That's like your types of thing with candy.
I just like to
do that.
It's like
eating little nibbles around like the center or something. You're like, can you just eat the freaking thing? Jesus Christ.
But I do eat the thing. I dilly dally with it first.
Carly sent me a meme yesterday. She's like, I think this is me. And the meme was something like, I am not supposed to be grinding. I am a dilly dallier. Wait, no, that wasn't it. That was not the meme.
Hustle and grind. I wasn't meant to hustle and grind. I was meant to dilly and dally.
Exactly. That's so her. She was absolutely meant to dilly and dally.
I just don't want to be constantly stressed out and constantly busy. I don't want that life. If you love that life, go ahead, do your thing. I don't want that life. I want to chill.
Respect.
I do. I want to relax. I want to read. I want to think. I want to do breathing exercises. I don't want to get up and immediately be stressed out and then be stressed out until the time I go to sleep. This is not the life that was meant for me.
I want my days to be filled with a lot of passion, but I definitely want downtime.
Me too.
I have to have downtime.
But that doesn't mean that you have to be running around like a chicken with your head cut off all day long, just desperately trying to get everything done. That is not my vibe.
Not my vibe either.
I was meant to dilly and dally. Anyways. Love you guys.
Love you.
Thank you for hanging out with us. I hope that anyone could relate to anything I said. I hope that I was not doing too much preaching. Sometimes I feel like I do that, but...
Nar.
That's no in Australian, but no, you're not.
The Australians are about to be so offended.
No, I'm so sorry.
That was the worst invitation ever.
So true.
Sorry, guys. Don't mind her.
Okay, we love you.
Love you.
Bye, bitches.
Bye.